the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is so wonderful to see everybody here today. I hope you are having a great day, a great week. It's always good to have you here, though. We are starting a new month next week, dealing with Never Alone. I know some of you have already picked up these scripture slide or scripture pages. They're in the back, underneath the table back there, the bulletin board. Thank you. That's what I was trying to say. If you haven't already picked one up, go ahead and do so. I think there's one left over from this month. If you haven't already gotten that, you can do that today. But so far this month, we have looked at what trust is. Having trust, trusting others, being the type of person that somebody could trust. Maybe you've had trust that was torn down with somebody, and you're building that trust back up. That's what we've looked at as far as what trust is. Last week, we looked at trusting Jesus and his teachings. Today, we're looking at trusting God, okay, and the things that he has given to us and what we need to trust. I want you to notice how Solomon writes these verses that we're going to look at here in Proverbs 29, verses 22 through 25. He compares a worldly man to a God-fearing, or what we would call today a Christian man or woman. The term God-fearing still applies. And I want you to also notice how Solomon gives three virtues of a worldly man, but then gives only one attribute of a man who believes in God. Verse 22 of Proverbs 29. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression or sin. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Jesus doesn't use the word humble in the Sermon on the Mount, but the terms he does use are poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, the merciful, the peacemakers, are attributes of a Christian who is humble. The humble in spirit will retain honor. Whoever, verse 25, whoever is a partner with a thief hates his own life. He swears to tell the truth, but reveals nothing. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. The worldly man has all kinds of problems. The man who lives in darkness has all kinds of worldly issues. But the man who trusts in the Lord will be safe. Which side are you on, light or darkness, good or evil? Are you on God's side or the devil's side? And we've talked about that a lot in the last, I'm going to say, couple of months. That there's only two sides, light or darkness, good or evil, God or the devil. Whose side are you on? If we trust in the Lord, we will be safe. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 5. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. You know, sometimes it might be hard, you know, to look at your neighbor in his three-story mansion. You know, he's got four cars, big honking truck. He's got a boat. He's got snowmobiles. He's got four-wheelers. He's got. You know, and we look over the fence and we say, man, you know, I wish I had all of that. But remember, when that day does come and the earth is done away with, all that's going away. You can't take any of it with you. Doesn't matter if you've got how many zeros you've got in your banking account, whether it's 1-0 or, you know, 5 or 6 zeros. You can't take it with you. There's no need of being envious of those who workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the herb as the green herb. You know how easy it is to cut grass? You know, you crank your mower and you just push it around unless you've got to let it grow up for 2 or 3 weeks, you know. But that's what David is saying here about those who, the workers of iniquity, they're going to be cut down as easy as it is to cut grass. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Dwell in the land. Dwell in God's land. Trust in the Lord and feed on his faithfulness. Continuing on in verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Again, which path are you going to take? Commit your path to the Lord. Commit everything that you do, everything you say, every way that you're going to treat somebody. Commit it to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. We as Christians should have a different view on life. We see the world through a different pair of glasses than those of the world. We as Christians need to delight in what the Lord has blessed us with. We need to commit ourselves to God. We need to commit our whole selves to God, not just on Sunday morning, but Monday morning and Tuesday and Wednesday. We need to make sure that we are living our whole life committed to God, committed to doing God's will, committed to living right, committed to doing everything we need to follow that narrow path to heaven. Psalm 118, verses 5 through 9. I called on the Lord in distress, which a lot of people do. There it is. I called on the Lord in distress, which a lot of people do. And that, a lot of times, that's the only time they do it, is when they're having distress in their life. Okay? The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can man do to me? Why should I fear it? In Romans 8, verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Should we fear man and what he could do to us? Not at all. Not at all. Because when we are on God's side and God is on our side, who could be against us? You know? And we need to realize that every day of our life. We need to remind ourselves of that. That with God on our side, who can be against us? Continuing on in verse 7 of Psalm 118. The Lord is for me, the Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Man will let you down every time. God will never let you down. He might not give you what you want when you want it, but it is not God letting you down. That is God setting his limits, not letting you down. Trusting God, not in principalities. He continues on here, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princesses. Okay? We can't trust principalities. We can't trust elected officials. We can't trust man. We can trust God, and that's where we need to be putting our trust every single day. Psalm 32, verses 10 and 11. Many sorrows shall be the wicked, be to the wicked. But he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Remember, mercy is unwanted favor. Okay? If we trust in the Lord, his mercy will surround us. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. And shout for joy, all you upright in heart. We need to shout for joy. We as Christians need to have joy. We need to let people around us see our joy and know that we trust in God. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. Okay? We should not be trusting in man. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not habited. I grew up in the South, lived up here, had never seen the desert. A few years ago, we went to El Paso and lived there for 2.5 months. And it was neat seeing the desert. It was neat seeing the Tory cactus finally, you know. But when I was on the train and we'd stop, I'd get off the train and I'd walk around through the desert because I'm always out, you know, walking in the wilderness and everything. And it was neat to finally see the desert. Everything out there is out to get you. Everything's trying to bite you, whether it's plants, bushes, trees, animals, you know, it's all out to get you. And that's what he's talking about here, is that, you know, those who put their trust in man is like the shrubs in the desert. Okay? And he also compares it to the salt land. I don't know if you've ever seen the Great Salt Flats. When we were coming back from Texas, we came up to Salt Lake City and took a left on 80 and went through the Salt Flats. And it was interesting, to say the least. For an hour, I think it's maybe 2 hours driving through, and it's just white, you know, as far as you can see. And there's nothing growing there. Nothing at all. It's just salt flats. I looked it up this morning. It says, you know, it's not inhabited. They have actually found some small insects that are living in the salt flats. A spider that they thought was just extinct, they're finding in the salt flats, and some other little beetles and things like that. But it's not inhabited as far as, you know, animals living there, people living there, or anything else. Okay? Now, and that's what we're reading here of the man who trusted man, you know, is like the desert and like the salt flats. We shouldn't be there. We shouldn't be putting our trust in man. We need to be putting our trust in God. Continuing on in verse 7, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Cursed is the man who trusts in man, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Verse 8, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be given and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Which would you rather be? The cactus in the desert, waiting for a drop of water that may or may not come? Or the tree that is planted by the water's edge? You know? That is the man who believes and trusts in the Lord. He is blessed. Our final scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 11. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Sound familiar? Are we not seeing this kind of doctrines preached today? We were talking about it this morning, you know, about false doctrines and false teachers, okay? False prophecies. We're seeing it a lot today, and unfortunately, we're seeing it in God's church where it does not belong. Continuing on in verse 4, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' tales, fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. We can't allow traditions and public opinion or politically correct issues into the church if it goes against God's teachings. Amen. And a lot of churches are doing that today. They're letting traditions rule over God's word. Or feelings, you know, I feel like this is what we should be doing. And it goes against God's word. That is this. Not what we as Christians are supposed to be doing. Verse 8, for bodily exercise profits a little, okay? But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end, we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Okay? This is what we as Christians are supposed to be doing. We are supposed to be commanding and teaching these things. We are supposed to be trusting in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. We need to trust in God. We need to trust in Jesus. We need to trust each other. We need to trust the promises of God and the promises of Jesus. We need to trust in heaven that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, for our arrival one day. We need to trust in there being a hell, and that we need to live a life daily that will keep us from that. We need to trust in the fact that there is a devil and that he wants our soul in hell. We need to trust these things and teach them to others so they too can believe and trust and be saved. How strong is your trust in God? We've looked at this slide now for 4 weeks. We talked about it the very first week, that a chain is no stronger than its weakest link. You could have a 2,000-pound chain, but if there's a link in there that's only rated at 100 pounds, that 2,000-pound chain is only rated for 100 pounds. And my question to you is, how strong is your trust in God? How strong is your trust in Jesus? How strong is your trust in each other? We need to have a strong trust, brothers and sisters. We need to have a strong trust. And I hope that these lessons that we've looked at this month will help you in that trust, will help you to build your trust if you need to help you build trust with others that maybe have hurt you. If there's any way that we could help you this morning, let us know. Let us help you. Let us encourage you. Let us pray for you. Let us be there for you. Please let your wishes be known as together we stand and sing.